You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Good morning, friends. You're tuned into episode 106 of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name's Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan. Thomas, how you doing?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm just beat. And there's a cat meowing.
Well, cat's
and
starting
we're
already.
Just,
cat's out of the bag.
Cat, oh, fuck.
It's only up from here.
Fuck. Hey, we've got a guest today. Joe, right? I'm really tired.
You're pronouncing that right.
Okay,
you're
great. It's been a day for me. How you doing, Joe?
I'm great.
Great, great. I'm glad to have you on the show. It's good to have you here. So in lieu of just kind of doing our typical, like, oh, we're going to talk about like some news things here and getting into some releases, we've all just been kind of playing some big kind of releases. I say kind of releases because Destiny and Apex have been out, but they're like huge updates for it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I figured we could just kind of spend this episode talking about those and just kind of our experiences with those. I'm going to go ahead and just start with Destiny because of course I am.
I'm here for it.
So I've been playing too much Destiny Shadowkeep. Destiny 2 Shadowkeep, excuse me. It's a new expansion. It's kind of similar to... It's basically like their big yearly expansion. It's their first big one since they've, quote, become free of the shackles of Activision.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. There's a cat yelling and we're just going to leave it and it's going to be fine. I'm really enjoying my time with it. I've finished the campaign missions, which aren't a whole lot. Thomas is running to go get the cat, but we're going to keep talking and just not edit it out because we run a tight ship over here. I've been really enjoying my time with it. The campaign does some neat things that set up kind of the future of Destiny in a way that I'm really into as somebody who just recently got into a lot of the lore. They're kind of delivering on some like promises they've made like 5 years ago, which is really cool. Everything, it takes place on the moon, which for the most part, I never played Destiny 1, but for the most part, the area that you explore is very... It's pretty much the same map from Destiny 1, just kind of cleaned up a little bit. There's some extra stuff in there just because you're dealing with a bunch of the Hive stuff.
All right, let me jump in real quick.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so I have not played Destiny 2 at all until this past week.
Yes.
Hadn't installed it or anything. I think I... I owned it from when it went free a while ago on, Games with Gold or whatever.
PlayStation Plus.
Mm-hmm. And never installed it. I never booted it up. I liked the first game, but I'm looking for a social experience, and I didn't know that many people who played when the game first came out. So anyway, kind of passed me by. This past weekend, I downloaded it pretty much knowing nothing about the game except that I have several friends, including you,
yep,
who are really enjoying it. So I booted it up. And I took some screenshots I could show you on here, but I boot the game up and it's like, hey, remember that stuff you did? And it walked me through like,
yes,
you did this stuff. Like you found the Black Garden. You went into the Vault of Glass.
So that's like an OG Destiny 2 thing. Whenever you like bring your character over, that's like tied to your, I guess for your case, PS4.
Mm-hmm.
If you like have that character and you like boot up Destiny 2 for the first time, and this was true at Vanilla whenever it first launched, it was like your character did all these really fucking cool things. Like you went and like, I never played Destiny 1. So I'm just like, okay, you did quest A and quest B.
So
and
did it tell you that stuff?
So
at the beginning
me,
of your
no,
game?
I built a character. So it's just like, it had me build a character at the start of original Destiny 2. And then it just like went on as normal with the cutscene where your character flies in and fights the Red Legion.
All right.
Yeah.
Cause I wondered, so, you know, I booted up, I had a main character who was an exo warlock, just like yours.
Hey.
Because they're dope. And
they're dope, yeah.
I made a Titan character, mm-hmm, but I don't even know if I ever played them for a second. I can't remember. But when I logged on to here, of course, it's like, hey, your guys are both level 750.
Yes.
You know, light level or whatever it's called. And I was like, oh, cool. So now they're both the same level. So since you play a warlock,
mm-hmm,
I was like, I'll just pick up the tank and, you know, pick up where I left off, even though I never did any of that stuff. Oh, something I thought was cool when it was like, hey, remember when you ran the raid? It showed my group the names of everybody who was in my group.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, so of course I was just running with randoms, but it was like, oh, that's a nice thing to be...
You ran a raid with randoms?
There were tough times back then, man.
Okay, okay. All right, man.
you had to look on forums on third-party websites.
They've made it much easier now. Like, there's a Fireteam search in the, like, Destiny Companion app to where you can just, like, pull out your phone and be like,
that's
hey,
so
I'm looking for
better.
People to run this thing, and you can just find people.
Dude,
it's
it really was rough.
I believe you.
The matchmaking,
totally
there was not
you.
Matchmaking, period,
oh,
in that
God.
Game. You could only be randomly assigned people. And if you, I don't know how it is now, but if you jumped into a strike and somebody quit, that's too bad. At least for a little part, like a little bit of Destiny 1, it wouldn't refill that spot. So now you're just down a person, you know, and it could be, oh, they quit right for the final boss. Welp, here we go, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that stuff's obviously gotten a lot better. So I created my character, or rather I booted up my existing character, and I was immediately surprised that it threw me into the identical tutorial from the first
game. Yes, so they basically wanted to have... That was, like, very much an intentional thing. They said that people who just jump into Destiny 2 for the first time, that game does not start out with... Basically, your first question is, all right, cool, what the fuck is a Guardian, you know, which
right,
is you.
Right.
And so it
what is this?
Literally starts you with the first, like, mission from the first game, which I think is a really cool, neat thing, and they, like... added those weapons in as drops that you like find, and like that old like shitty assault rifle that you get in that is like something that people are now just like getting out of their collections and just running into the Crucible with it to just mess with people, which is awesome.
Shout out to the Suros regime.
Yes,
that was my favorite.
That is the gun that I am still using.
The Mita
it's really
multi-tool
good.
was my jam.
Mita multi-tool.
Yeah,
and then even as underpowered as it was when I was still playing Destiny, Sweet Business.
Oh, the Sweet Business is good. Sweet
when you,
Business
when you
is
had
real
it,
good.
When you had it ramped up, when you fully, when you leveled it up to a certain level, then it became serious business.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And, I mean, when you have that, the, because I had a Titan as well. I had an Exo-Titan. And I unlocked the armor that basically auto-reloads your weapon.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I know
so
what you're talking
when
about.
You paired that with the Sweet Business, in one trigger pull, it's 175 shots. Before you run out, before you have to reload.
Oh my
god. So while my two teammates would be tactfully going after somebody, some major boss, I was on ad duty. Because when the ads would come out, I'd just pop out from behind a rock, open that gun up, and I'm just mowing them down.
Yeah.
Because on certain bosses, the type of ammo that the Sweet Business used wasn't all that effective against the bigger bosses. I mean, you could sit there just drill all day and nothing is really coming off this guy. But the ads were not immune to it. So, I mean, I could sit there and just literally keep them off the other two while the other two literally just focused on the big guy.
Yeah,
right.
We won a lot of games that way. We finished a lot of raids that way. But I haven't played Destiny in over
There's a new exotic. Same. I don't know if it's necessarily new. Somebody told me that it's actually from, like, base Destiny 2, but they're just, like, giving it to people as part of an exotic quest now. It's called the Risk Runner, and I am fucking loving that thing. I am very much like kind of a I like doing the ad control. I like controlling basically keeping a swarm of people off of the people who are like actually doing the work, you know.
Yeah.
So really kind of a support
crowd
class
control.
Right, totally. Like I'm playing a Stormcaller Warlock, so I have like the Chain Lightning for the super, which is fucking great. But the Risk Runner is an SMG that it shoots pretty fast, and it's pretty powerful just kind of base level because it's an exotic, but anytime you take arc damage, it doesn't run out of ammo if you just keep, like, holding down the trigger and killing enemies, and your bullets do chain lightning to other enemies. It's real good. It's real good.
Real
and
good.
So I can just, like, throw my arc grenade at my feet and just lay into a bunch of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
It's real nice. It's
That's
really
pretty cool.
Nice. I was watching the new raid open up this weekend, and I was watching the Race to World First this weekend because I didn't really have anything else better to do, and it was awesome. And people would be like hopping into like the White Vex Milk because that does arc damage, so they could like trigger stacks of the Risk Runner perk to like they would like intentionally damage themselves. It was like this really cool, neat thing. This expansion's pretty good. I'm really liking it a whole lot. They've made a lot of changes to, like, the armor system has completely completely changed. They brought back all of the stats from Destiny 1 to where it affects like your cooldowns, and you can like mod out your equipment
so when I played full builds and stuff. You've got like a strength, intellect, and something else.
Yeah, and then the rest are just like your cooldowns, essentially.
Well, those are the ones that's like the strength is your cooldown. So you've got a cooldown for your melee and each ability. I think one's your super, and then one is just your
They were like resilience, mobility, and recovery, I think, was the original.
But those were straight stats on your person.
Yes.
But not your ability. So I had no idea that the old stats weren't in the game until they just added them.
Yeah.
So I like those because when I was in Destiny 1, I played a Warlock, which is like a mage, kind of. You know, it's a very loose.
You shoot lightning out of your hands. It's a fucking mage.
Yeah, but also when everybody has a weapon, it's hard to say. You know,
sure. I mean, the whole thing is just space magic.
It's all space magic.
Just name him Palpatine.
Yeah. So I played a warlock, and of course you can go fire or you can go void.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked playing as a melee warlock, where either I could burn somebody with my melee and just be in their face, which they weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could use the other one where it's like, I think it's like when I get a kill with my melee,
devour?
I reduce my other cooldowns or something.
Oh, okay. So it are you talking in Destiny 1?
Yes.
Okay. So in Destiny 2, the Voidwalker has one that I use a whole lot called Devour, where if you get a melee kill while your melee skill is active, it's off cooldown. Then you just like absorb them into your body and it just restores your health to full. And then starts like a countdown of 9 seconds, and every single kill, like if you get a kill within that 9 seconds, your health goes back up to full and it restarts the timer.
Oh man.
It's really nice.
That's very cool.
Yes.
So I like to thank because the Warlock was not traditionally a close range character, but when I used him that way, I still had all the benefits of my other space magic and my weapons. But if people tried to close a gap with me, or if I knew that they wanted to stay at range, if they were a hunter or something, and if I got in their face, they didn't really have an answer other than shooting me.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that because it was just not something I saw other people do. So when I did it, people didn't know really what to expect. But that's all to say that I really like those stats. I like that it allowed me to manipulate my character's cooldowns.
Yeah.
So I could really stack into strength.
I think that Activision was very not keen on them referring to this game as an MMO.
Yeah.
Because like ever since they got out of that, they'd be like, hey, it's an MMO. Please play our MMO. This game is an MMO. And they've like never called it that before. And they're like really leaning into more of the RPG side of it with this expansion, which I'm kind of really here for.
Yeah.
It's adding like a whole lot of longevity to it. You can like straight up like build out your kits. Like it's not just, okay, well, you have to just have this weapon and this armor set. You have to, like, you can...
Yeah, like, this is the top tier stuff.
Right, and you can, like, go through it and make it work really however you want to. They changed the leveling system as well, in addition to, like, your power level, which is basically your gear score and, like, all of that other stuff that's pretty common nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They now have a kind of Battle Pass-style leveling system to where, like, if you, like, look at your season pass, in quotes... you'll be able to see very much like at level one, like you start out level zero, you get like this thing if you're paying for the season pass. And if you're not, then you get the stuff in the top row. And I kind of like that. It's really nice. I'm only like level maybe 15 or 16 on mine. There's 100 levels on it and the seasons are like 69, 70 days or something like that. But I'm really enjoying seeing what's coming up next and just not getting, okay, well, I leveled up. I get cosmetics that I probably already have. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting, okay, well, if I hit this level, then I get 50 of each planet's, like, resource that you have to go and, like, try and scavenge for. So if I hit, like, level 18, then I get that. Then it's just, oh, well, that's one less thing I have to worry about. Or mm-hmm. you get, like, season armor or different ornaments for your weapons. Bright Engrams, too. There's a couple of exotic Engram stuff. It's really bad for me in that it makes me not want to play literally anything else, and I just want to be playing Destiny.
Yeah.
It's real good, guys.
There was a while when that's all I played. I mean,
yeah.
your friends play Destiny, you jump on, and you could find yourself killing three or 4 hours in an evening.
Oh, absolutely.
I played from the first one. Now, I don't know. How many characters do you have?
So I just have my Warlock.
Okay.
I only ever played one.
So, and that's all I ever did. I was never one of the ones that did, like, let me balance this character and get this character.
Right.
I have friends that do the multiple characters. No, I had the Titan XO from one. Okay, stayed with them all the way through two and basically just leveled that one up. Because, I mean, 20 years ago, I probably could have had multiple characters. I'd have time. You know, I was a jack off with a part-time job or something and had time. Now, no, as a family man, that's why when my buddy was talking about not playing Apex anymore, I was like, well, I can't walk away from Apex. I've already put enough time and money into it.
Sure.
And I really only have enough time for one or two, maybe three games if I'm lucky. So, and I've already paid for the big Ghost Recon package. So I've already decided my future for the next year or two.
Yeah.
So, but no, I mean, Destiny was great. I mean, all the people that complained about certain things as they would do these, you know, they'd run out this series or this chapter or this chapter, people complain. I was like, I mean, I still played the game a ton. None of it changed enough for me to be angry at a company that's never going to hear my voice anyway.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I'm not gonna waste energy on it. I just played it. And I think the last time I played was, it would have been when Mars had just opened up.
Okay, so that was the Warmind one. So that was like the second.
It was the one. It'd be the one right after Warmind.
Right after Warmind. Okay. That might have been. Was that like the big Forsaken one?
Yeah, because I think Forsaken. Because after I got Forsaken, then they had this other big chapter, and I think that's when I was like, I don't want to spend any more money on Destiny right now.
Okay. So, yeah, that's fair.
And that's when I stopped for a while.
So like their new model is. So, like you said, you picked up this weekend, but it's free to play now.
For
like the first year of content, plus a bunch of other stuff. They've made a bunch of really smart changes, at least in my mind, to like get people into it. I'm probably going to fire up and build, thinking maybe a Titan. I don't know. Maybe a Hunter. I don't know.
Okay, like, so what if you make a Hunter only to play? You only log on when I log on. And we run that question together.
So the one thing that like I'm wanting to make a new character is I do want to see kind of what that new player onboarding is, just to like kind of see where that's at and see kind of how confusing it is. I've heard that it's not the clearest in a lot of ways. Granted, free to play for that is like a week old now, not even, because we're recording on a Monday and it came out last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I booted the game up, and you play that tutorial section. You get your ship, or actually, you're still on your way to the ship.
Yeah,
and
Cosmodrome.
Yeah, and you walk out into this area, and I was like, you know, I obviously recognized the tutorial stuff before, but when I walked out into the open area, I expected it to be different, and I was like, oh, I recognize this. Yeah. I know where this. I know where I am.
Straight up, fucking put the Cosmodrome in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Like there's the quest to get the Risk Runner is actually like you go through the Cosmodrome actually.
Yeah.
And it's like the only quest that isn't the intro that like takes you through that area. It's really interesting.
Well, so I do that. It spits me into this area where there's basically a group event going on, more or less. It's specifically, I think it was specifically scripted for me to go through while that was happening. You know, however that works, but I went out there, and of course there are way more enemies. There are also allies. There are like three or four allies running around this.
Is this
area.
The part where like the tanks drop down?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that is actually the quest. So you were like running into people doing the quest to get the Risk Runner.
Yeah. Well, great. Yeah. So I was there, and I was like, you know, wow, there are a lot of enemies here.
Yep.
There are a ton of enemies, explosions, and bullets, and I was like, man, I'm glad I've played this before because this really went from like holding my hand. I just punched everything in one hit. Yeah, and it escalated very quickly. It seemed confusing because I was still trying to get a hold of how to move around again. Because I kept, you know, you jump into the air and then you hit jump again and you'll glide depending on what race you are. You know, I was a Titan, so it did this like slow upward forward, almost jetpack thing.
Yeah,
and I kept wanting to stop it, but I was fumbling with my controls, so I would just end up either way in
a
different place
or
off a cliff a couple times. And so that was, it was just a lot at once. And then I went and got my ship, and then, hey, it's like, now you go to the tower. This is your home base. You're going to come back here a lot. And I dropped in, and I did not recognize the tower at all.
Yes.
And I was listening to another podcast that was covering this, and they were trying to find the they're trying to find the old quests, and apparently you have to go talk to the shipmaster.
Yes, you have to talk to, I think, Amanda Holiday.
Yes.
But it doesn't, like, do a good job of telling you that.
No, it doesn't tell you that at all, but also she just happened to be the very first person I talked to.
Oh, okay, great.
Because I got in and I was just like, and I'm going to take a sharp left mm-hmm. and see what's over here.
I think it's kind of fun and interesting how they basically, like, give you the option to do the quests from the Red War, which is, like, the base Destiny 2 campaign, mm-hmm. because the first thing that happens in that is, like, the Traveler gets taken over and everyone loses their light.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, cool. And then, like, I always thought it was funny when I was playing Destiny 2 for the first time that, like, they were still, like, you could still do the Crucible. I'm like, oh, they're just gonna die.
They're gonna
in
be
there.
Dead forever.
Like, those bullets count now.
Right.
But, yeah, anyway, I'm really, really enjoying, Shadowkeep a whole lot. I will be playing quite a bit more of it for sure.
The same podcast I was listening to basically said, yeah, so I picked this up for the first time and this is the game that I wanted Borderlands to be.
Totally.
I played all 10 minutes of Borderlands at our monthly event, and it was Borderlands. Mm-hmm. It was all the things I do and don't like about that series. And as soon as I jumped in, well, once I got out of the tutorial and got into that group area and I was able to really fumble around and use my abilities and stuff, I was like, oh, this feels good. Like, this is real clean. And
Destiny's fun. Like, it's just like a really good performing playing shooter, you know?
How do you guys feel about games taking a year or two to get to the point that they promised us?
So
the No Man's Sky syndrome.
So, So I know that, like, this is kind of the second time that a lot of this stuff has happened specifically with Destiny, because mm-hmm. I know Destiny 1 launched in pretty, like, not rough shape, but they definitely took an extra expansion, which was another 40 on top of it, to kind of get that stuff ironed out. And that's kind of what happened.
Ironed out.
That's what happened with Destiny 2 also, with, like, the Forsaken expansion.
Well, because there's games like Sony Spider-Man that proves that it can come out polished from the jump.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I understand that these games like Destiny and Ghost Recon, they're more ambitious.
Sure.
Not just in terms of graphics, but, you know, the overall in-depth that they're going to get. Because they want, you know, replay value.
Right.
But, I mean, at what point do you think, does this ever turn, or does it just get worse and worse?
I think it depends. And I really think that with stuff like that, you have to look at a track record and also the type of games that they are. Like, Spider-Man, I feel like is kind of different from, like, a Destiny or a No Man's Sky, just in that Spider-Man is kind of this, like, isolated, just kind of tight package. It's not like an always online, like, right. evolving world kind of a thing. They did have those, the City That Never Sleeps stuff, but I never played that. I just kind of platinumed the game and was like, okay, that was fun. I'm good. I think you kind of have to look at the track record of the studios. Like, Ubisoft in particular, specifically, like, Rainbow Six Siege, that game did not really launch well, and it was kind of in rough shape, and people were not super hot on it, but they just kind of stuck with it, and it is now one of the most popular multiplayer mm-hmm. games out right now, which is wild, because that game came out years ago.
Look at CSGO.
Sure,
they're
totally.
Still playing that in tournaments.
Totally,
you know?
Totally.
Or, right, you know, even, like I said, No Man's Sky, I mean, right. It took them 2 years to get almost everything they promised us. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand, well, when I say understand, I have a limited knowledge of what it takes to make a game, mm-hmm. as being somebody who's not a programmer or designer or anything like that. But when you watch companies that make games that come out polished, and then you watch these same companies who sometimes are bigger overall economically, like somebody like EA, and EA is notorious for this, mm-hmm. that they will keep putting out games that, you know, require a day one patch, or, you know, what I thought was odd with Ghost Recon was that the beta rolled out 2 weeks before launch. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much like, this is a beta so we mm-hmm. can get your feedback and fix bugs. This was just like, here.
This is a stress test.
We're going to give you a teaser. In 2 weeks, there's no way we're going to fix all the bugs you're going to find.
That's a pretty common thing nowadays, I feel like. They're really just kind of early access to things. And I think, like, the most glaring example of something like that I can think of recently was probably Anthem, where, like, that game was just, like, obviously Anthem was a bit of a train wreck when it, officially launched
1.0.
Yeah. that game is still in the top 10 best-selling games of the year. Fun fact.
They're counting pre-orders. They really, like, sold that game.
That game sold well, but it didn't last.
Yeah, I had two different friends who Did Apex just come out? Something, I think Apex had just come out.
Apex
right around
was
the same
out
time
like right, like I oh, think yeah. the weekend before.
And they were both EA, which is a stupid decision for them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Yeah. But I had two friends who I played Apex with for, you know, a week, and then they were like, "Yo, come over to Anthem." I'm like, "Nah,
I'm good.
Good. I'm not in that big a hurry. If it's really good, I'll switch over, you know, in time."
Yeah.
And it turned out it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah. But kind of to my point earlier, they like the early like EA Origin Premier access, like they got access to the game a week early, but it was like a couple of patches behind. It was essentially like kind of a press build, and they said, okay, well, this is going to be fixed by day one. But at that point, like, what's the point? And they were like, it's a weird thing whenever you get like early access involved, and like making games is really hard, you know.
I have no doubt.
I feel weird about like, oh, well, I didn't like this thing about a game, or I think this game sucks or something, when in reality, like, I think they should have done this means like, oh, well, that could have just not been possible just based on the way it was made. And that's something that we're obviously not going to know about. But
I mean, wrapping your head around turning ones and zeros into what
sure,
we see on screen,
sure.
for me is out of my
if league. Anything, they're the fucking space wizards.
Right. Like, you know, and you see that and you're like, so, because, like, have you guys, and I don't want to go too far off topic, but have you...
Yeah, we wouldn't want that. We've never done that on this show before.
Were either of you on the beta test for Stadia?
Mm-mm.
I was.
So the Project Stream?
Right.
So I got an invite to it and completely forgot I got an invite to it. I think I fired it up maybe once, and it was like, oh, this runs pretty well, and then just, like, didn't actually mess around with it
more. Well, I think, for me, it wasn't so much that, oh, I get to play, you know,
sure,
Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Right. And I never played Assassin's Creed games. This is the first one I really got into.
Same.
Played into.
Yeah.
But to me, the geek in me was more impressed by... They're doing this all in live stream.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically a peer to peer system, encoding, displaying, and reacting to your inputs on a controller in light speed.
Because mm-hmm. yeah.
you don't know where. I mean, you never know how far away the server is. But the fact that now Google is now taking this idea and saying, well, you want to play AAA titles, but you don't have a PlayStation or you can't afford a rig like this.
Mm-hmm.
When you can go, as long as you have a good internet connection, you can take a $300 crap laptop from Walmart.
Crap top.
And play AAA titles in HD.
Yeah, that's wild. And you can play them in places that don't have, like, they don't have gigabit internet.
Right, and I'm surprised that the big three aren't more nervous about this. Because I'd understand that when I played the beta, if it was shit,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't mm-hmm. shit. It was legitimately good. The stream quality was good. The HD quality was good. The latency was next to nothing. And I thought that was going to be a huge deal.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Because, 100%. You know, I'm pushing forward. My system is telling the server I'm pushing forward. The server is generating it in visual and sending it back to me seamlessly. And I thought, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I really think I think the big three should be a little more nervous. They've all got their streaming
versions.
Yeah,
they're all getting into streaming. I think there was some like recent weird from the top down shakeup stuff that happened at Sony recently, and the guy in charge right now seems to be kind of really pushing them a little bit more towards streaming, and I think they're starting to move a little bit more in that direction.
What was the service? They bought Gaikai, right?
They bought Gaikai, yeah. For like $1 billion, too. Like a long time ago, where that was like an unheard of amount of money.
And they just turned like $1.1 billion.
Yeah.
And they just basically turned it into PlayStation Now.
Yeah, which PlayStation Now is something that I have used like briefly.
Same.
But it apparently does really well.
I mean, I played like, an old Uncharted game.
Yeah.
Just tried out. I just want to see, you know, because it was like, I think it was one of the free ones when you first signed up. You could
play.
Yeah,
they had like a free trial.
Yeah.
So I
tried it out. And that was my first step. And I was like, this is pretty impressive. But at the time, I guess I wasn't correlating the mechanics behind it like I was with Google. Because, you know, full confession, I love Google. And there's one thing that I hate that Google does. Google will abandon something.
Yeah, that's kind of of a big concern I have for Stadia.
That's exactly. Yeah. So I mean, while I feel like personally, and I'm not a game designer, nor am I a corporate bigwig, but I think honestly, Stadia could have legs. I think it could.
There is totally some potential there for sure.
You are going to bring in some market for people who don't have a shit
ton
of money.
Honestly, the idea of, especially since Destiny has cross save now, the idea of I don't have my PS4 on me, but I've got my phone. Or my laptop, and like, oh well, I'm just gonna like run a couple of dailies in Destiny while I'm like waiting for a plane or something like that. That's really amazing. Really nice. Like that is like honestly, Destiny just period is like, oh maybe I'm kind of into Stadia. All right, you know, yeah.
So with Destiny all taking up all your time, you're not gonna play nothing else for a while?
Oh no, I'm also like in the middle of Dragon Quest XI, but I talked a lot about that last week. Like it's a known quantity. It's just like a feel good JRPG, turn based. I like it a lot. It is just kind of a nice like warm comforting hug of a video game, and sometimes you need that.
That's why I played through Shadow Complex again a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yep. That's also a good game.
That's a great, yeah. I wish they'd make a sequel.
Yeah, man.
Please.
That was Epic, right? Wasn't it?
It was Chair. But Epic gave them the engine, but Chair developed it.
Okay.
But gosh, such a good side scroller.
I would love to have seen more of that for sure.
And you mentioned earlier when you talked about Destiny's companion app on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think more companies should. I'm surprised Apex doesn't have one. And while even like the companion app is more or less a companion app by definition, I kind of wish some games would do more what DICE and EA did for like Battlefield 4. So I don't know, did you ever play Battlefield?
Hmm.
So they had their app, but their app did twofold. One, it was a companion app. You can change your look, your outfit, your loadout, stuff like that. But you were also a player in a match. So let's say you weren't at home, like you were saying. And let's say you're out and about, but your friends are playing. You can pull up the app and join in their game. And from the app, you're the commander.
That's right. That's right. I remember that. That's
cool. So you could say, hey, go here. If you were putting out orders on the map, because you got to see the map full time. Like, you wasn't ever blacked out. You got to see where everybody was all the time. So, and if you had a headset, you're talking to your team. Mm-hmm. So you're coordinating with them, which is really fun.
Yeah.
So you could say, hey, you click it, go here and hold this hallway down or whatever. If they follow through with it, points were earned on your end, at least for your character. And the more points you end, the more you could do, like, you know, missile launches from ships that are out in the water. And it was amazing.
Yeah, I remember around the time, that was Battlefield 4, right?
Yeah.
I remember around the time that came out, there was just this, like, big push for, like, we believe in second screen technology. And I was like, okay, all right, we'll see how long this lasts. And okay. It kind of didn't.
Yeah, dude, I want it.
The only ones that I've seen that have done stuff really well, I think Warframe has one that people kind of like. The Destiny one's great. Like, I can straight up change my loadout from my phone. I can, like, talk with my clanmates and all of that stuff. But Red Dead 2 had a really good one.
Yeah, the Red Dead one's great.
And, like I said, I am I am thoroughly shocked Apex doesn't have one.
Yeah. Dude, even the Sony companion app.
It's not great.
It's not great.
Yeah, and they just rolled out remote play for Android phones to I think it's going to happen this week though, which is kind of nice. So again,
you know, for a while there when I was living at, I had my PlayStation, but I also had a Vita.
To the Vita! Let's go.
I had a Vita.
His language,
talking my language.
But then at the same time, no, it wasn't. I mean, I had a Vita, but so here's how my setup was. My PlayStation was in the front room. It was the Plex thing, and everyone was in there, but. Then I had my room, and I didn't want to move it around, so I bought the PlayStation TV box.
Oh, yes, okay.
So, if you set it up right, and all you were doing was just doing your basically remote play from your hardline, this thing was brilliant.
Oh, I mean, the PlayStation TV was fucking awesome.
I mean, you can even download and play Vita games directly on it, but, so, I wouldn't have to move my PlayStation, I'd be in my bedroom, and I'm sitting on the bed playing Destiny, and farming, you know, just... In the loot cave,
while my place. Oh, loot cave! I forgot
about
that.
Remember the loot cave? Everybody remembers the loot cave.
They patched out the loot cave.
Yeah,
Well, and they're patching out loot whatever's every time they find one.
Dude, okay, let's talk about that for a second. Actually,
all right.
When the loot cave appeared in Destiny 1, if you're not familiar, there was a bug you could manipulate where you could just shoot at these enemies that kept respawning infinitely in a cave. They would drop a ton of loot, so you just kill them forever and then go in and pick up whatever you know, whatever they dropped. That came out, and like for me, if somebody figures out a way to manipulate a game that's within the confines of the game, usually I'm like, okay, like, you know, you didn't cheat. You right. used the tools that were available to you. Yeah. You exploited it. And, you know, I may not be thrilled about it, but you didn't cheat. But when this came out, man, like, it was all anyone could talk about. I'm like, dude, there's a lot of good game here.
Yep.
Why are people only talking about this? And then when they patched out, people were pissed. And I'm like, dude, that's
people
not even
playing.
People stopped playing,
that.
And I'm like, this isn't
ridiculous.
Even a real part of this game.
Man, there were. Oh, I got really mad at people on Tuesday of last week because like there was some obvious server issues with like the launch of Shadowkeep because the game, it was like a huge update that they were like, they pulled the game down for 24 hours beforehand to like roll out the updates.
That's surprising.
And also the game went free to play whenever it launched. Like servers were at capacity. There was a massive like 1,000 line long like server queue to get into Destiny 2. And people were just like, man, this is fucking stupid. I paid for this game and I can't even fucking play it. I'm like, hey, chill the fuck out.
It's
like,
one day.
Those engineers are running around freaking the fuck out.
And on that, I'm curious, why is it only that Google seems to be the ones that pre-plan their server capacity? Like, for game companies, a game company knows if their game's going to be a big hit. You know, from what they read online, mostly, you know, pre-reviews, when, you know, press builds are played and they're talked about, you can tell if something's going to be big. Now, every once in a while, something like Anthem, it doesn't become big.
Sure.
But they constantly underestimate how big a launch is going to be over and over again.
I don't know if, like, and this is just me not having, like, the exposure to, like, that, really any side of game development, but specifically that side of just, I don't know if the answer to that is necessarily just as easy as put more servers or like add like more space and stuff like that. Like
sometimes you need more pylons.
Like sure, and I think that sure. Sometimes like the answer could sometimes be like, okay, well maybe we just didn't anticipate this kind of thing. Which I don't think a team as big as Bungie kind of didn't necessarily anticipate it. There were some other issues that were going on that made me think that there was an actual kind of issue with this one in particular, like underlying that the engineers were trying to fix. And they did get it fixed like by, I think, like 8 p.m. that night. So it was like hit or miss for like 8 hours. But I mean, the game's real good and people are just kind of past that now.
That's the evolution of these games.
Sure.
Because, you know, 10 years ago, companies didn't set aside dedicated teams to just their full time job is to watch, wait for bugs, and fix them as fast as possible.
Yeah.
When you have full support.
Especially with live service games. Yeah.
Like Destiny and things like that. They have teams dedicated for that. You know, you're never going to get that on 10 years ago or, you know, Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Well, let's not talk about Nintendo's online support. Yeah. Hey, tell me about Ghost Recon. I know you were talking about that a little bit earlier.
Ghost Recon, I played Wildlands. I played Ghost Recon, Future War. I've been a fan of Ghost Recon. I like shooter games. I'm not as obsessed with them as some people are, but I do enjoy them. I like the team play because, you know, you've got some games like Battlefield, Call of Duty, where team play is encouraged, but obviously you've seen videos of guys just going in by themselves and just cleaning house.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ghost Recon, you just can't do that. I mean, the game is designed so that if you don't work together, you're going to die.
They've always kind of been like that.
And in this one, now I played the beta. The beta was broken.
That seems to be what I've heard.
But now I played the release. They've fixed quite a few things. You know, most of it was really just graphical, audio things.
Yeah, I heard there were a lot of reports of people just like, I was just going along and then fell through the level. Like,
hate to see that happen.
You know.
Or, you know, you look to the left and there's a boulder just sitting there in midair, just hanging there.
Hey, what's up?
well, like you do.
Yeah, you know.
But they polished it. Now, I will say this. I'd say the first quality of life rollout that they have probably going to be a month, maybe 2 months away. I think really all the game now needs now is polish. Mm-hmm. The mechanics are there. They're trying to bridge, and I applaud them for their effort. They're trying to bridge enjoyability and reality in a shooter game. You can only do so much reality before you take the fun out of the game. Because you know, a mechanic of the game is bivouacking. So when you get to a certain point, you know, your stamina's out, you're injured to a degree, you played for in-game for, let's say, 4 hours. Your character gets fatigued. You have to bivouac and rest, mm-hmm. or you do all your, you know, your crafting, your loadout. You change a lot of stuff while you're bivouacking. So if anybody doesn't know what bivouacking is, it's pitching a very small tent, a very small, compact, quick up, quick down campsite. And so you have to craft meds. Just, you know, it's a really nice blend of shooter, and it's basically taking the next step to blend RPG and shooter.
Okay.
So you have to craft meds, work on your loadout. You can change your gear, things like that. You can go with the tac map, set up strategy missions, and then the coolest thing is you have to keep an eye on your stamina. So if you get injured in the game, there's right now, depending, I don't know if the health levels go up, they probably do. Mm-hmm. But right now when you start out with 3 chunks of health. And every time you do that, your mobility decreases. Every time you get hit, you take a hit on one of those, your mobility decreases. To a degree, once you're all the way down, you are essentially crawling in the mud. So in a team-based game, it's not like, oh, we can just keep fighting and we'll get to you whenever. No, you have to get this character up. Otherwise, he's out. Now, what I really liked is that they thought of some things to incorporate with the stamina. So you ever played a game, you have your sprint, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sprint eventually wears out.
Yeah.
It recharges. You do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in Ghost Recon, your sprint still does that, but it's altered depending on terrain, if you're inclining, declining, mm-hmm. things like that. So if you're running up a hill, your stamina drops crazy fast. Mm-hmm. If you're going downhill and you run out of stamina, you will fall. You will tumble.
Okay. That's interesting.
You will take damage.
Hmm.
So like if you're going down a steep hill and your stamina's out, that's it. You're going to tumble. Now, if you're only going to tumble, say, 5 to 10 feet, you'll be okay. If you're tumbling 20 to 30 feet, you're going to get fucked up.
Yeah.
And so when you get to the bottom, now you're injured because you took this, you know, very cavalier instead of trying to get down smooth and slowly. And I think they found a good balance because I think if you push too far of the, you have to micromanage and watch everything and, you know, literally spend a physical amount of time in your bivouac tent sleeping, nobody wants to put their controller down
for
8 hours.
Right.
You know, but, and I think they're trying to find that balance because everybody still wants realism. And when it comes to shooters, you've got your comical, which is Apex.
Mm-hmm.
Your next level up is Call of Duty. It's got some realism, but it's got some
silliness.
Yeah,
it's still pretty arcadey, yeah.
Then Battlefield tries to make it a little more matching with the military-esque line. And then you've got your Ghost Recon, which is, as they still throwing a science fiction story into it.
Right.
Or, you know, their own narrative.
It's a little more grounded in terms of gameplay.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
And everything is, it's really a lot of fun. Now, the game has one really good thing going for it to bring people in, and that's John Bernthal.
Yes.
So John Bernthal plays a spooky badass in this.
Mm.
So he's gruff, he's military, he's methodical, you know, he doesn't do anything in the game. As far as the story's concerned, he doesn't do anything without reason. So, and his whole goal is to protect his men and carry out what is in his head is the mission. And now I haven't gotten far enough in it yet. I haven't come across him on the full release yet. I came across him in the beta. And one thing that Ubisoft did, which was super nice, for anybody that's playing Wildlands, say you played through Wildlands for a while, you're a loyal fan, you played through it. At the end of it, you know, you could still go around trying 100% the game like you would like a Tomb Raider or something like that. But for free, for no reason at all, Ubisoft rolls out another mission. Out of the blue, they haven't done DLC on Wildlands in a long time, and all of a sudden you get this update. You've got a mission. Now this mission is you chasing down a bad guy who turns out to be John Bernthal.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So they connected the games. They gave you an extra mission in Wildlands just to connect the games.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I know Borderlands 2, like right before Borderlands 3 came out, they were like, hey, free Borderlands 2 DLC. And I'm like, what the fuck? All right. Sure. You know, right. Cool. Like, that's awesome.
And then so they did that, and then they paired a good cluster of missions. I think what it was designed to do was, hey, you've been playing this, but let's get you freshed up before this comes out.
Sure.
And they gave up a handful of missions that if you play through, they unlocked a ton of stuff in Breakpoint.
So
that's cool.
The DLC mission for Wildlands, that's the game. Did that was that still just kind of in the same systems as Wildlands? Did it feel a little bit more?
Yeah, so it was on their map. So basically, in Wildlands, you're
still... So it didn't have, like, the stamina survival stuff?
No. So this was literally just a story connection to connect this to
that
game.
Gotcha, okay, cool.
Because when you... And then when you go over to the next game, there's a character you meet in this area that is, like, their sanctuary where the people are hiding. They were on this island that they're trying to hide from the wolves. That's who Bernthal's company is called, the Wolves. And you meet a guy... whose name you recognize, and you look at him, it's the character you created from Wildlands.
That's pretty cool. Oh, that's really cool.
So now you're seeing this guy in the game, because he, I mean, he was the character I was playing as. I was like, I saw him, how am I not, that's my character. Nope. Now they've taken your character that you created and inserted him in the game.
That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And, but now, you know, you've got your other character that you create, and it's, there's some definite influence of RPG and having to craft and watch your stamina, you know, a la HP or whatever you want to call it. But, of course, at its core, it is a shooter.
Yeah.
And I think where you're going to see the biggest conversations come out of it is going to be the AI.
Mm-hmm.
They have rewritten their AI, and their AI is mean.
That's what I've heard.
Even on normal. Like, I was playing before I came over here tonight. I engaged a group of guys, and there's drones that fly over. Now, if you don't drop in the mud and cover yourself before the drone sees you, the drone will notify attack drones, and they'll come to your position.
Oh, shit.
So okay. I wasn't paying attention, because it's not like something – because your map, your HUD, disappears all the time. Mm-hmm. So it only pops in when something important is going on.
Right.
So if you're not paying attention, if the drones, like the reconnaissance drone flies over, you're not paying attention. Your map will pop up, but you're still focused on the action. You'll never see that drone flying over. Mm-hmm. So you'll get spotted. And the drones that came in to attack me, they're unforgiving. So I got a bead on one.
Mm-hmm.
I go to fire and it does this. And I mean fast. So it's like, as soon as I saw that the first time, I was like, shit. I literally turn around.
Oh, no.
Haul ass.
Yeah.
And then they don't just chase linear.
Mm-hmm.
If there's more than one, they coordinate. So as I'm running to a certain area, this drone is coming around the side and just strafing me on the run and just shredded me. And I thought, and this is just me playing by myself. Mm-hmm. So this to me tells me that, again, you've got to play with a team.
Yeah, I ran it. I spent a little bit of time this year with Division 2, and I played that almost entirely solo and fell off of it probably because I was almost entirely playing it solo. I also just really wanted to play Destiny the more I played that, but, right. Here I am.
And, you know, funny thing, I used to call Division, I was like, it's just Destiny, modern military.
Yeah. It is prepper Destiny. That's all that game is. but, yeah, man, the AI, like, Ubisoft has stepped up their, like, third-person shooter AI, like, game lately, because the AI in Division 2, if you are in the wrong spot, they will eat you fucking alive. It's a lot.
Because, I mean, you've played games before where you can get a bad guy and you can just, I just duck behind this wall, and he's going to stay right there until you're healed up, reloaded, pop back out, shoot you,
They will flank your ass.
And
Ubisoft has really been stepping up their game in a lot of that stuff. It's been kind of nice.
And Recon's the same way. So if you really like a challenge, I mean, Recon is, I mean, you can try and play it solo, and you can get through probably the first hour of the game solo, but after that, I mean, and it's also a lot of fun when you're... One of the mechanics that we played would be, like, say you're pulling up on a compound and you throw your drone up. The drone spots out 15 targets, okay? So you've got everything targeted out. You see them on your map. Everybody can see them up in the HUD. But you got a four-man team. So now you got to drop these guys quietly. The whole point of the game is to be in and out without being seen. Dropping them takes coordination. So you, amongst you, decide who's going to call out the 3-2-1 shoot. And you've all got headsets on, so whoever's calling it can ping and say, on this ping is one. So he'll say, Joe, you take one.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, you take two. I'll take three. Russ, you take four.
Mm-hmm.
3-2-1, shoot. And you see four bodies drop.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to coordinate. You have to watch the patterns of their walk patterns, things like that, their patrol patterns, and do it so that when they drop, you've got enough time to get in and move the bodies before they're seen by their other squad mates or by the rest of the team. And that's a rare bit of teamwork in games. I think I don't want to see a flood of it, but and I'm glad at least one game is doing it and doing it well. Like I said, Recon still needs a good quality of life patch to roll out, and I think that's probably going to be their first thing.
Yeah, I know people were like really into Wildlands when it came out, and then just kind of quickly fell off of it. But there was a very small kind of dedicated, I wouldn't say as like kind of vocal or as much of a success story as like Rainbow Six Siege, but there was definitely a big, I don't want to say vocal minority because that implies there weren't a lot of people, but there weren't like the community for Ghost Recon fucking love Ghost Recon.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool that they are like acknowledging kind of that they are definitely here for a little bit more of that realism, and they're leaning into a lot of that stuff.
That extra DLC that connected the two stories, that was literally fan service.
Yeah, totally.
That was like, hey, here you go, guys. And, and it was really cool because when you saw, because we all knew before that DLC came out, because they didn't like, hey, we got something coming, nothing. They cold dropped it.
Great.
So, you know, we're all getting excited waiting for Breakpoint, and we see the trailers with John Bernthal, and you're like, because, you know, everybody's got a hard-on for John Bernthal these days.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah.
And so you're like, this is going to be great. He, you know, he wouldn't attach his name to something that's going to be trash. At least you wouldn't hope he would. And then literally a month before Breakout was to drop, they dropped DLC and said, here's a story mission. You go into it, and there's cutscenes, and it's Bernthal. And you're like,
oh. That's cool.
And it gives you goosebumps because you're like, oh, they love me. I played a game and they love me.
That's good. That's good. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break here, and then we'll come back, and then I will just let loose the fucking floodgates. And Thomas, yes, you can talk about Apex Legends. Burr, burr, burr. All right. We'll be right back.
That was a high five.
Hello, everyone. This is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network. Currently, you've probably heard me on a show called Screen Heroes, where we discuss movies and TV shows about superhero, sci-fi, and a little bit of fantasy. Well, I love fantasy so much, I am starting a brand new podcast about fantasy television series. We are going to review these series in a bit more detail than what Screen Heroes usually does. We'll discuss multiple episodes for a whole continuous arc and then move on to another series. Spellbound will review new shows like The Witcher, Good Omens, Carnival Row, and Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. We're also going to look back at previous shows such as American Gods and Avatar the Last Airbender, old miniseries from the 90s like Leprechauns and the 10th Kingdom, and we're going to do a movie here and there, maybe even a little bit of fantasy upcoming news, who knows. You'll be able to follow Spellbound at SpellboundCast on Twitter for the latest fantasy news about the show, about the upcoming shows that we'll be discussing. You can also listen to us Fridays, coming in September.
Hey, we are back. So I kind of lied, and I'm going to talk about Rock Band for a little bit, because I am apparently just kind of turning into a Rock Band streamer, and I think that's fun. So the other night, I think it was Friday, last weekend, I wanted to play some Rock Band. They put out a couple of new songs that I really love, so I was just like, oh, fuck around, I haven't streamed in a while, I'll play some Rock Band. And then I hopped over after playing a couple of songs and was checking out, like, oh, well, I forget there's like some single player modes in Rock Band now. With the new expansion that came out like a few years ago for Rock Band 4.
The new.
yeah, right. With the expansion of Rock Band 4 that came out, they added a Rockudrama. So, which, honestly, fucking hilarious. I didn't expect it to be as funny or, like, it wasn't anything to, like, write home about in terms of gameplay. It's literally just the same as all the other campaign modes. It's like, okay, well, you can play for fans and, like, a bunch of stuff like that. But everything is framed like you are in an episode of Behind the Music. Including, like, they brought in, like, a bunch of the bands that are on that expansion. Like, they just showed up and sat down and did, like, fake interviews talking about your band, which was kind of cool. Shout out to my band Wheel of Pomeranians, which is a great name.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really funny, and I didn't expect it to be funny. I expected it to be really corny and maybe a little stupid and, like, just said this like dumb satire of, oh, well, they just like party and get drunk and trash hotel rooms all the time. But no, like there is a point where your band plays on a cruise and your band gets essentially they leave the country in shame because somebody contracted a norovirus on that in that gig and just started pooping everywhere. And like they used a poop virus as a plot point and people just started calling your band Poop Band.
You sure this wasn't written by Volition, the same people behind the Saints?
No, it was not. This is Harmonix, like, in-house.
Because this sounds like something Volition did.
This was fucking hilarious. Like, who the fuck is gonna make a music game where a plot point is a poop virus? Because if anybody else does that, I will give them money. Just, like, straight up, that is my challenge to you.
Did you ever play Saints Row?
I did, yes.
Saints Row is, of course, Grand Theft Auto turned up to 19.
Yeah, it's ridiculous GTA.
But it's fun. And when you say that, it literally reminds me of one of the crazy stories that they wrote. What, you know, and again, offshoot. One of the things that surprised me about Saints Row is the level of acting they put into the voice work. The guy that played Johnny Gat,
mm-hmm.
I would listen to
him. He's pretty good.
I would watch a movie of whoever this guy was. Because, I mean, he played that character.
Who did play Johnny Gat? Hang on. Keep talking.
Yeah, keep looking up. Because if you play, you remember the scene in the courtroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he told the judge to go fuck herself. And I was like, this is amazing. I'm just watching this guy just, you know what? Fuck this. Fuck that butch. You could probably pull up the scene on your phone, but yeah. So who was it that played Johnny?
Daniel Day Kim. He's a Korean actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been in tons of movies. So.
Yeah, he's in Lost.
But, no, so.
Wait, is that the main dude?
Yeah.
He played Johnny Gat. Your character is the main dude.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean the main dude in Lost.
I never watched Lost.
No, well, okay.
So. Oh, yeah. The Asian guy. I never watched Lost.
Oh, was he that guy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know who that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He was in Hawaii 0.0 or something like that.
But your story about the
yes.
the game story.
Your band basically, like, I'm totally spoiling this, but who fucking cares? You should totally, if you
two
have Rock
years
Band,
old.
If you have Rock Band 4, you should be playing this without a doubt, especially because
we're gonna
if
have
you
to
have
put
Rock
in
Band 4 at this point, then what the fuck else are you going to do with it? But, man, like, after you leave, your band is embarrassed. You basically go off to this, like, fictional European country and, like, you basically seek spiritual counseling from this, like, guru that totally turns out to be a cult leader. And then, like, your band basically plays this show under a fake name that is literally just not, and then your band name, and everybody is just wearing sunglasses for the gig, so it's, like, concealing their identities. Fun. And you're playing for a dog's birthday party.
Aww.
Fun fact, all European countries are fake.
Wow.
Oh.
I mean,
hot take.
I've never been to Europe.
So I have been, but was I really there?
Were you?
We probably just did a big loop-de-loop.
Anyway, so yeah, Rock Band, good. Tell me about Apex Legends. I'm going to regret saying that.
Okay.
All right.
I'll just be over here drinking.
Hold on. Cam, you crack your knuckles real quick.
Okay, hang on.
All right, now we can get started. Okay, so hey, Apex Legends.
Love it. It good.
It good.
It good.
It
real
is a good,
good.
Game.
So Season 3 of Apex Legends just came out. I mentioned it last week because of a lot of the changes I'd been happy with up to that point before we saw gameplay. So, of course, we record on Monday. Last Tuesday, the Season 3 came out, so it dropped. You're able to play. That included the new hero, Crypto. Hero, what is it called? New Legend?
Legend. It's in the title,
legend.
Thomas. Get it together.
Oh, man. It really
Apex
is in the
Legends.
The Apex Heroes.
Apex Heroes. Crypto's the new guy. He's a hacker. He's got a robot that you can remote control and fly around. You can spot enemies. You can basically anything that this robot can see will appear in bright orange to your teammates. The same way that if a bloodhound will scan enemies and they'll appear.
Interesting.
You can open doors and loot bins remotely. So like, if
oh
you're,
shit!
Yeah,
okay,
if you're,
all right.
Yeah. So if you're if somebody's hunkering down in a room, you can take your drone over there, open up the door, go right in the room, EMP blast them. Now they're half shielded.
Ooh, great!
And then you just walk in and clean it and mop up.
Excellent.
So yeah, the drone. Your ultimate is with the drone. You have a huge EMP. It just the radius is massive. And it's like hitting them with an arc star. So they take shield damage, but it's only shield damage, not health damage.
Disables all traps.
Disables all traps, which is huge.
Does it affect you and your teammates or no?
Yes.
It affects.
Okay.
Yes, because, and I
interesting.
Learned, and here's how I learned this. When you Every special somehow has like a different configuration to pop it off. Mostly, most of them are the same, but Crypto's is a little different. So I hit the button and hit the other button right away. So as soon as I launch my drone, EMP blast, and all of a sudden my character's like, okay. I'm like, well, I just wasted that, but my drone's still alive.
Yeah. I've been there. I've been there.
So like with the other old, so like Bangalore drops or Gibraltar. So yeah. I like Gibraltar, and I'll have more to say about him in a second. He drops a big aerial assault from the sky, right? It does a bunch of damage, but it also really messes up your vision. Mm-hmm. You know, it's as if you just got knocked over. It's really hard to see. The way that works is if I'm Gibraltar and I call that down right on top of myself, I can take damage from it. But my teammates, even though they'll get rocked around, they'll have trouble seeing, they won't take actual damage.
Mm-hmm.
The EMP works the same way. It'll mess up everybody's vision, but it'll only hurt you. So at least your teammates won't take damage from that. But boy, you can totally wreck your team by using the EMP the wrong way.
Yeah.
But it's a cool ability. You can also pick up banners. So if both your teammates died in a dangerous area.
Oh, that's really nice.
It's super cool.
That sounds great.
And here's even better. Let's say you go and pick up the banners, and then somebody shoots your drone. Because your drone has no armor.
Mm-hmm.
One bullet from any gun will kill it.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So let's say you pick up the banners, and then they kill your robot. It's all right. Crypto already has the banners. He immediately has
that's
them.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah. But I like Crypto a lot. The only thing I find, because, you know, the character, his origin and stuff, I find it a little hard. Some of his accent is really thick, and sometimes it's hard to understand, even if I'm playing as him, to understand what he's saying. I know what he's looking at, and if I like when I tag a Havoc, mm-hmm. the way he says it, it's a little unintelligible, but I don't think that's going to be a big deal. I think that's just more of a personal thing for me. I can't understand what he's saying, but...
Subtitles, baby. I keep them always on. They're super useful.
Do not.
Do it, yeah, because actually you'll find... something else they just added to the game is you have an equip wheel. You have basically a scroll wheel of things you can say out loud. So usually they'll be like taunts or something like that. But enemies can hear them when you say that. So because of my subtitles, I found some jackass goofing around speaking out loud.
That would be
And
me.
I was like, that, oh, that, there's somebody
that is,
near.
That is very much me. That's...
It is a cool way to gloat.
I am that jackass.
Well, if you can pull it off, it is a cool way to gloat because you can be like, you got the jump on me,
just fuck them up. Yeah. I can relate. Yeah.
Especially specifically as Crypto because you can lure someone to where your voice was and then spot them with the drone.
Great.
So you're lit up bright orange and your teammates. So, let's dig into the meat here. So Crypto can do all that stuff. Another thing I found out he can do through the tip screen is, all throughout the map, there are the banners that appear that say, like, here's the top team right now. Here's the kill leader. If you are Crypto and you take your drone and look at those banners, it'll tell you how many enemy teams are within range of your drone.
Oh, shit.
Because he's a hacker.
Okay.
So the drone is already hacking the screens. And so every time you look at one, there's three teams within range of your drone. Oh, shit. Well, let me tell everybody else.
Yeah, that's
really
a lot of people.
Cool.
So that's pretty dope. The patch notes that came out for season 3, dude, it was just a laundry list of great changes, in my opinion. The first thing that people would be upset about is they took out the disruptor rounds, which is a hop up that you can get for two of the weapons that increases shield damage dramatically. It's a huge, huge buff. But they kept the hammer point rounds, which do more damage to shields.
Mm-hmm.
That would go on the P2020 and the Mozambique, which are two of the originally two of the weakest weapons in the game. Now they're two of my favorite weapons. They did that. They got rid of Skull Piercer, which a lot of people are upset about.
I have heard people talk about how the Skull Piercer is not there anymore.
Yeah, well, it's not that big a deal, and the new stuff is better anyway.
They didn't take out the audio clips referencing the Skull Piercer yet, though.
Oh,
we were
really?
Playing last night. We heard Bangalore saying, "Slap a Skull Piercer on it, you'll do some real head damage." I'm like, "No, you can't."
Another funny thing: Watson, the next most recent newest character, she specifically grew up on the island where seasons 1 and 2 were at. Right? She's like, "Oh,
they designed it."
Yeah, she designed the shield and all this stuff, and she's like, "Oh, I grew up here." Well, on the new map, she says like, "Oh, I know this place like the back of my hand." I'm like, "No, you don't.
You don't.
You've never been here."
So from what I heard, they like, you just can't play the first map correct. Anymore right now.
Can't
so,
play
like,
now.
King's Canyon is just like out for right now. I think they said until they figure out a way to not like segment the player base. Well, but, like, still have both in, or...
What Respawn is telling us is when every change they make, and then they try out, they take away, they're being quick to remind us, nothing's permanent.
Yeah.
If we think you guys want it bad enough, we will bring it back. It's just a matter of time. I think they're just... Because Respawn's been a very dedicated team.
They're a really good dev team. They're one of my favorite devs.
Apex has had its issues, but they were quick to fix, you know, right. Things like that. But my favorite thing about them is the care that went into the game. Like, they looked at all the Battle Royale games, looked at what they loved, looked at what they hated, and built this from the ground up. And even from, I still remember the first couple of weeks we were playing it when we first tried it out. We were still finding stuff that you could do. Like, the whole cresting over the wall, just looking before you jump over. You can stop and look over.
I didn't know you could
do
that.
Yeah, that was a few weeks before somebody pointed that out to me. And I'm
so when you jump over a wall, you can stop right at the edge and just look.
Oh, I guess I just mash X, so...
Most people do. That's why it was discovered
so late.
That
makes sense. Okay, cool.
But something that simple is a great gameplay tweak.
Yeah, that's really... Oh, that's
and then,
so good.
Of course, you can't talk about it without talking about the ping system. The ping system is probably...
great. We talked about it a ton on this show. Like, that was, like, the first episode I was on, like, the show period.
We've talked about that a lot because it's fantastic, and it's great that we see other games adopting them.
You know,
so something they added...
Yeah.
Now, if you're being third-party, right? If you hear fighting, if you hear fighting going on, you want to run to that fight because you want to pick off the people while they're distracted. So now, if a team runs up that's not the team that you're engaged with, whoever's getting shot at will say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! There's another team here," and it's great because whether or not you had the tools in your kit to know that was another team, the game knows it is, and it's more fun because. Yeah, you should, to an extent, you should be paying attention, be careful, and be able to tell, are we about to get third-partied? But when you die that way, where you're like having a great fight with somebody, and you think this other person who's shooting at you is on the team that you're fighting, and then you realize, oh, we're fighting against six people right now, not three.
It takes the sting out of losing.
Like, now you're like, oh, we need to change course. We need to do something different right this moment. Where before, when you got third party, to just be like, oh man, we had a really good fight going, and then we just got creamed, you know?
And what's funny is I play with a couple people, and one of them, as I was telling him earlier, is a bit of a rage quitter, you know? And he would often get mad when we get third partied, and I'd still laugh about it, because me and my other friends, it's hilarious to us. When we're getting our asses kicked, it's
sure,
just,
you know.
We find it, we look at it from the outside looking in. That's funny as shit.
You have to at some point, you know.
But he is also the type that I would sit there. I'd say to him when he'd get mad, I'm like, dude, I hate fucking third parties. He's like, no, you don't, because we do it whenever we get the opportunity.
Right, totally.
We will third party.
Everybody
in a
who gets
heartbeat.
Mad about that is the type of people who do that.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, especially when you're the last three teams and they're fighting.
Right.
Let's go murder.
Right. Or if you're like, if you are the only person left and it's like down to two teams fighting and then you as an individual, you're sure as shit gonna sit there and wait for them to fight.
I won one game by myself, and I third partied the last two teams that were fighting. And I beat him because I was Gibby.
Yeah,
they were close quarter. I was like,
Kobe.
And all three. There's two on one team. One guy was holding them off. And I killed all three of them. I was like,
Feels
hell
good.
Yeah.
Feels good.
So let's talk about some more of the patch notes. So in season two, the thick boys, the Caustic and Gibraltar, they're these big. They're supposed to be tanky characters, but there was no advantage to playing them other than...
Because their hitboxes were so big.
Their hitboxes were huge. They're very easy to hit, and so, like, at least Gibraltar has a frontal shield when he looks down at the sights of his gun, but even then...
That shield was only... It was originally only 50 damage. Then they bumped it to 75.
Yeah.
That was in Season 2.
So that felt better. Caustic didn't have anything. He was still fat.
But they gave him 25% longer range in throwing his grenade. I remember that.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
Because they were basically trying... The way they look at it is they look at analytics and they say, okay, these characters aren't being played as much. Mm-hmm. How do we do it? So they try to incorporate fixes. Just like when they dropped the disruptor rounds. Yeah, I mean, I liked having the 45 of the disruptor rounds. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to get more weapons to get more game time.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally pushing these things around just so that everything's even. Because, you know, this game was built by people who love this game. and they want all of it played.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're doing things to promote that.
I did think it was funny that they ended up, like, making the Mozambique a viable option, just because, I mean, I love the fuck out of that gun from Titanfall 2, because I played so much Titanfall 2. But, like, obviously, not completely different game, but it's a completely different game. But I remember there was an interview, like, pretty early on. Somebody, like, asked Vince Zampella, like, hey, you guys gonna fix the Mozambique? And he's just like, sometimes you just gotta have bad guns, man. I'm like, I respect that. I respect the hell out of that.
But they took it one step further. They knew the fans disliked the game. And the gun was had become a meme at some point.
Totally.
And so they incorporated an animation in the game that only, it was only with the Mozambique. Mm-hmm. No other gun. So if you had a Mozambique in hand and you go to pick up another weapon, you throw the Mozambique down in disgust.
Yeah, it's great.
That's hilarious. They didn't have to do that, but they did that because, you know what? They're happy to poke fun at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, back to patch notes. I know you want to talk about some more.
So, my boy, Jabroni. So, Gibraltar, he's this big guy, right? So, they gave both of those big guys a 10% damage reduction to any damage taken from any source. And that was nice. Like, I liked both of those characters, but I was definitely at a disadvantage playing them. Mostly everything we've outlined were the changes so far. But then in season 3, Gibraltar, they fixed his ult. I'm trying not to get like way too into the weeds here, but before it was like, hey, every 3.5 minutes you get to use your aerial bombardment, and the bombardment lasts forever. Honestly, it lasts longer than it needs to.
It was 10 seconds, which doesn't sound like a lot.
Yeah, then that's a lot.
But it just keeps going.
But mid-game, you're getting rocked. 10 seconds is an eternity. They drop it with 8?
Well, I think they dropped it to 6. But the issue is before you drop it, and it would just keep coming down and going and going, you're like, all right, want the smoke to clear. I'm ready to firefight now. And so what they did is they reduced the cooldown on the ability, on his ultimate, and they reduced the cooldown or the duration of it. So basically they just took all of it and made it so you could do it more often, short and sweet. I think that's a fantastic change. But they made some other things. I'm going to try not to go too deep into it, but they made some animations across several characters much quicker because there were examples of like you would start to use your ability, but you'd be at a disadvantage while you were, like,
warming up. That was Bloodhounds turning into the Beast of the Hunt was taking too long. But Gibraltar, they also changed. He has a dome shield.
Mm-hmm.
So now if your teammate's inside the dome shield, when they're using healables, they use the healables 25% faster inside the dome shield
That's nice.
Yeah, which is very nice. They made it, so it used to be with the legendary items, if you had a legendary backpack, you could, I think it's,
the backpack was the fast healable.
So you would use your shield and medkits twice as fast, you know, in half the time.
Mm-hmm. And if you were lifeline, it was ridiculously fast.
And then, that's what it used to be. And then if you had gold armor, which is obviously very rare, with gold armor, if you executed somebody, you would get all your shields back.
Oh, okay.
Which all is right. cool, but also super risky. And in pro play, you never
ever use it. Those take a while.
Yeah. So what they did is they made it so the body shield now is the fast heal. So when you shoot somebody, you can tell they have a gold shield. Before, there was no way to ever tell if someone had a gold backpack, so you could never tell if they could heal quickly or not. So they'd have a huge advantage, and you'd have no way of knowing. There's no possible way you could know. So now they put that on the gold armor so that when you shoot somebody, you're like, oh, better not let them hide because they're going to heal up. But they made that ability from before, you know, do a finisher, get your shields back. That's just a permanent thing that everybody has all the time now. And I love doing finishers.
That's great.
They're really kind of gloaty, super risky. You can very easily die because it's, you know, obvious what you're doing.
Very easily died
Respawn
many times.
Has some very, very good execution animations.
Yes.
Just across the board. Their animations are, I would say, probably some of my favorite in the entire industry.
There was one I got executed by Crypto, the new guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a cinematic moment. I'm not sure if I recorded it, but I was running away from somebody and I like barely got out of their line of sight, but they pulled this pro move. I was way above them. I escaped with like one health and I'm like, oh, I'm barely going to make it. And I'm like starting to turn around and I saw this grenade come in and just explode right next to me. Like, they knew exactly what they were doing. It was super cool looking. Well, I fall down and I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can still crawl around this corner. And right as my camera pans around this corner, the crypto comes in, and his finisher is like a slide tackle. So it looked like the animation began before he even reached me. So he just tackles me and just gets me in this super fluid motion. I was like, man, that straight up looked like a cinematic.
That's
like that
cool.
Whole sequence.
That's really good.
That was super cool. There's, so they made a bunch of changes like that with the armor. I do like those finishers because it's high risk, high reward. And when I'm playing regular games, like, I'm pretty much always going to go for those things, even though it's a bad idea.
Sure.
It just feels real cool.
Yeah.
So, brand new map.
Yes.
Brand new map.
I've seen some video of it. It looks fucking cool.
It's super cool.
There's a train.
The train is one of the best features.
Fuck?
So let's talk about the train.
Please.
The loot boxes. So the train.
All aboard this hype train.
Aw, yeah, baby.
Choo-choo.
The train is like the old dropship, where it always has very good stuff on it. It always has purple armor. It always has like 6 Phoenix kits.
Fuck, okay.
Which, you know, fully heal everything you've got. So that's pretty cool. But it's risky when you land on it because, boy, you're just... There's nowhere to hide.
If you're taking a curve, you can hide.
Yeah, there are tactics to it. But you jump on this thing. It runs on a track around the map, you know, all the time, and you can know exactly where it's going to go. It'll stop at these certain spots no matter what. But if you're on the train, you can run to the front of it and hit a button, and it'll stop before it gets to its next destination. The nice thing about that is it's always a hot drop. Like, you're always going to get good loot. Mm-hmm. Since it has a specific path, you can, like, plan ahead either when you're dropping at the beginning of the map. You could be like, oh, we're going to drop at this depot and loot there, and then the train's going to show up. Or you say, we're going to land on the train and then show up, you know, at the next stop, ready to go.
So does the train, like, automatically move, or can you drive the train?
You can only stop it manually.
Okay.
Otherwise, it starts and stops on its own.
Okay. All right, cool.
But it's very fast, so it can be a cool way to get around the map. on Saturday, we had the circle come down to this area where there was nowhere to hide. There were tracks in the middle. It's the only time I've seen the circle stop in this area. There were tracks in the middle, a couple spots on either side, and we had me and my one buddy, so just two of us, and an unknown number of enemies in the last remaining squad. And we're sitting here planning this out, and we're like, we don't know what to do. If we step out of here, we're going to get lit up. We don't know what we're looking at. And I hear the train start up, and I'm like, oh, dude! And so the train comes through, right through the middle, and we're like, all right, we gotta move! So, straight out of a movie, the train comes through here.
That's really good.
And I jump onto it. Well, lo and behold, I had been hiding behind this fence, like, talking our plan out, just like, you know, what are we gonna do? Mm-hmm. The whole time, the enemy was, like, 1 foot away from me on the other side of the fence, just crouched, hidden. Like, she was totally visible from everywhere in the whole map, except for right where I was. So as soon as I ran out, I jumped on the train, and I'm just like, what? Look what's happening! And so I go down, and my buddy comes over, gets him, and she was the only one left, so we ended up winning that. But the train makes for these super cool, like, action movie moments. There are moments where, whether you're alive or you're downed, you'll just in a split second, you're like, we gotta bail. We gotta bail right now. And sometimes you can get off quick enough that the train's moving so fast that even if the other team wants to get off, they're way far away now. Or the track is elevated, so you can actually jump straight off this cliff. But it makes for all these super cool moments.
Thomas, let's play Apex soon. God fucking damn it. Sounds cool as hell.
We had a movie moment last night with the train playing our game. So we're dueling it out with this team, and we beat them near the one of the train stations over there by where the multi-level towers are. They're the round towers where you can go inside.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're in that train station. We battle out with this team. We come out ahead. We get revived. We're, you know, going through loot boxes, and then we start getting third-partied. And we're like, so we're running, and basically there's this big hangar where the train comes in. So we're inside the hangar, they're outside, we're shooting, going back and forth. And it was just like one of those Chop Socky movies where this guy's shooting at me, and I'm shooting, and I keep ducking back, and he's ducking back, and it couldn't have been more perfect. He runs out to come after me, and of course, you know, if I was a gentleman, I'd have been like, hey, watch out for the train. But he's looking at me, and the train hits him. Done.
Dead.
Because in the game, the train is unforgiving.
Yeah. Of course. I would say most trains in everywhere are.
Most. Thomas the Tank Engine was pretty nice.
He's pretty all right. He's
arguably
cool.
The most forgiving
he's chill,
of
he's
all
chill as fuck.
All the
Thomas
tanks.
The Tank Engine is chill as fuck. So but that's our episode
you've got,
title.
You've got that. You've got the train. You've got the replacement for loot ticks, where you have these cargo bots that float around, and they carry a little ball that changes color. It's either blue, gold, or purple. And, it'll change, and it'll be gold for just a tiny second.
They're going to nerf that, because I think that gold, it's still gold for too long.
I agree.
Because I'm nailing the gold every time.
Agreed.
Right now, I'm nailing it every time. I'm like, this is easy, because it's the same pattern, and you just wait for the gold. Just fire right. You only got to hit it once. You don't have to like continuously nail it.
I could go either way, because definitely it's very... Once you get the hang of it, it's very easy to get the gold fox. And you're not always guaranteed to get a gold thing out of it.
Right.
But it seems to me that the algorithm of what pops out is based off of who shot it. Because there are times where I shoot that thing, and it gives me the best things
for exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
That's great.
So
that's
it's
really
very
good.
Satisfying. So when you see those, they move around in a very wide arc. So... Mm-hmm. Like, I've chased after one for a long time and just had to give up because it was moving too fast.
But there's a give for it, so it's not always just positive because, again, shooting at it gives away your position.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So do you want the reward bad enough? Do you want, because there's no
gun. So I chased one of the bots. So one time I had to let it go, but another time I chased it way far away from my team. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just getting this bot. And the moment I shot it, I realized I had made a mistake.
Yeah.
And immediately there was a team like 2 feet away from me that if I had just
taken
1 second to look around, I would have seen him. But I didn't.
Yeah, I play with my my youngest boy. He plays on our team sometimes. And he's always played by himself. You know, he'll play on his teams, but he's always done his own thing. And I've slowly gotten him to play better as a team. Because when Apex first came out and he said, hey, can I play with you guys? Sure, come on, jump on, because we always wanted a third. We didn't want a random. Mm-hmm. And so we jump, we're looting up, and all of a sudden we look up, and Sai is half the map away. We're like,
what happened?
Sai, where are you going?
Right.
If you get attacked or we get attacked, we ain't saving each other. We're dead.
Right.
But no,
I tell you what, when you have a teammate die on the train and their beacon gets like... It's long gone. You see that? Like, see the thing, you're just like, well...
Just like, well, this sucked.
Yeah, we'll see you in 20
just
minutes.
Just go ahead and quit. We'll be back later.
So they have the new map. You have the loot stuff. You have the train. It's a cool map with an icy part. Yeah, some geysers that you can redeploy off of.
Which you redeploy...
That sounds cool.
You don't redeploy as high as the ropes did, but you redeploy faster.
Okay. All right.
So you hit it, you're shot up like a rocket.
And you're obscured while you do that.
Yeah, so
that's nice.
Yeah. And then there's a controlled visor geyser. There's one that's... Because the ones I've seen so far are pretty much sporadic.
Uh-huh.
I think there's one in the game, if I watch that video right, there's one in the game that you can do something in the game to trigger it. I'm not sure. I'll have to reread on that. I'm not sure if
that's
100%.
So
and the vaults.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those. So there are two vaults, these locked doors that are hidden in these areas underground, that you can look inside them, and they have all of the best items.
The best stuff ever.
They have golden everything.
Great.
It's like the Rocher of chocolates.
Okay. All right.
And there's a timer on it that says vault unlocks in, and there's a counter that's counting down.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't added up when that's going to be. I think it's in two months or something.
Oh, yeah. So it's like a...
It's a real timer.
Oh, okay. That's
persistent.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
I know Fortnite's been doing a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I'm liking the way they're teasing this stuff because it's just drip-feedy enough that you're like, okay.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see them kind of get a little bit more of a hang on...
And it's not just going to unlock either.
Yeah.
So you have to find one of those cargo bots and shoot it. And when you shoot it, it'll... might give you the key.
Oh.
Wait, how do you know that?
Okay.
So they released it. So the key will be in the cargo bots. But the cargo bots, they'll reduce randomly. But they're not going to start dropping the keys until the timer runs out. So the thing is you could get a key, but you could also be on the other side of the map when you get it.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah. So now it's do we hustle all the way across the map to get... I mean, it's yellow, purple shields, all kinds of...
the best stuff.
And so, I've only seen the one vault in the cave.
Under the train station?
Yeah. That's the only one I've seen so
I forget
far.
Where I saw the other one, but it's in a similar area.
So I've also heard that they added the my favorite gun, actually, from Titanfall 2, the charge rifle.
Dude, the charge rifle!
Fucking love the charge rifle. I know it. I was watching a couple of people play this on stream, like, how if you're, like, charging it up, like, the preliminary, like, targeting thing does damage?
It does
six damage. That's really interesting.
It's barely any... It's enough to know that you're hitting the target.
Okay, great. Because, like, I pretty much just carried that thing around in Titanfall 2 to fuck up Titans, because it's... You're good luck missing, you know?
Yeah, but right.
That tick has two purposes.
Oh, that is that weapon, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it's
I
a
didn't realize
rifle.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the two purposes of that is, so, like, basically... If you damage somebody, even with the little tick,
mm-hmm.
it tells you you damaged. You hear the noise, you damaged them.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can track your shot better.
Mm-hmm.
However, on the other side of it, that little tick does a tiny bit of damage, but whoever you just hit knows, oh shit.
Get down.
Yeah.
So it's a great balanced weapon. I mean, I haven't played with it yet. I haven't used it. I'm not...
Joe, dude, play... Okay, so this thing just does an insane amount of damage, and...
How long is the charge on it?
Very fast.
Yeah.
When I was reading about it, I was like, oh, you have to keep a bead on the target, and then a big blast will hit him. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like I have to hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, where I thought, oh, it's only going to do the big explosion if I am aiming on sight the whole time. No, it's like, bing, bing, psh.
Yeah, so that sounds pretty similar to, like, in Titanfall 2, I think there was a perk, or whatever they called it, that you could pick where you essentially... could just, like, semi-auto fire that motherfucker, which was awesome, but it did, like, less damage.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like a kind of middle ground between that, which is pretty
they
good.
They need to nerf it. Okay. Seriously.
They will.
They probably will. Yeah.
It's amazing and fun, but also, holy cowabunga, dude. It's crazy. You can put the digital threat scope on there, the 410. So you can get headshots easy on that thing because there's no weapon drop, right?
There's no recoil.
Yeah, so you can be a bad sniper like me, and you can mess people up. So a headshot does 137 damage.
Good lord.
That's a ton of damage.
Good lord.
So it's very strong. It barely
very
uses
strong
any ammo.
Is a fucking
it needs
understatement.
The skull piercer is what it needs.
Yeah. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if they release a hop-up for it, but mm-hmm. reduce the base... damage?
Maybe they'll do, like, a similar thing where it's, like, you can just, like, fire, like, similar to that perk in Titanfall.
Or a polarity where...
Yeah, it would be cool if they...
Yeah, where you can just, like, fire pop off it. Shots, but they're, like, significantly weaker.
Or
but like, yeah.
Or something that makes the first initial shot equal the second shot.
That would be too much. I think that would be too much.
God.
No, I'll tell you what's too much. Double tap on the EVA 8 with a purple bolt.
Okay, so they released new hop-ups. They got rid of Skull Piercer, got rid of Disruptor. They released new hop-ups. There's one called the double tap. So it works on the Scout and the EVA 8, which are two weapons I am glad are getting some love.
The EVA 8 was my favorite shotgun in Titanfall.
It's dope.
It's good. It's good.
So this time with the hop-up, when you pull the trigger, it pop pop. It fires two shots.
Okay,
so
all like, right.
So now imagine the EVA 8 pumping twice.
Great.
Or the Scout, if you're far away, you can aim at someone's like waist, and you'll hit the first shot,
recoil
and the second
bounce
will
oh,
hit
that's
their
nice.
Head.
Yeah, I think I got some like hemlock kills in Titanfall with stuff like that.
Man, it's pretty
it's good.
Sweet.
It's good. It's a good
that's
feeling.
Good. There's another one called the Anvil Receiver, which there are two weapons that no one but me, it seems, ever uses the single fire for. It's the R301. Which is like a longish range assault rifle,
mm-hmm.
and the flatline, which is a hits very hard, has, you know, very easy, very difficult
just
to control.
Like, yeah, just like horizontal recoil, doesn't it?
I think I can't even remember.
I think so.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
They added this on so that if you use the hop up, you can single fire. It fires more slowly, but hits much harder.
I lied. I don't want to play Apex with you. I just want to play Titanfall again. So
if I had somebody to play with, I'd play Titanfall again.
Hey.
I'm only like level 10, but you know.
I mean, what are you doing later?
Hey, what's up?
So that stuff's cool. What else is there?
We're approaching an hour and a half on this show.
All right,
so.
We'll end this. But in the notes, they were like, hey, we want to make this more like long range and skirmishy.
Mm-hmm.
So we added the sniper rifle. The map is more conducive. There's urban fighting. So there are these buildings.
Nice, cool.
We're in a city.
Cool.
Great. I was in a city. It's like the new version of Skulltown. Which was
rip,
on the old map.
Rip Bone Zone.
Rip the Bone Zone. The Bone Zone was cool, but there just wasn't enough loot in it.
Yeah, that's fair. I just like calling it the Bone Zone. So, that's the only attachment I have to it.
So that just tells me, we were talking about this the other day, that just tells me that when you get into a map, and you notice how with Apex, the major areas are named.
Yeah.
But then there's small areas that you like to go to that don't have names. So you start making names for them. So I guess the one place that I always wanted to go to, I called the Quiet Place. Because I called that because nobody ever went there. And it was the one house between Runoff, next to the pit, and before...
Yeah, I know
what you're talking about. So other people called it the Golden House. Because usually that area always had one golden item in it somewhere. Usually. Yeah. But it's funny he said called it the Bone Zone. But because I guarantee you that everybody playing this game... called certain areas by certain names. The one, okay, you know where Repulsor was?
Yes.
And that little garage with the trucks underneath the awning to the right, we called that the gas station.
It checks out.
I mean, it just, that's what it felt like. So we would plan our game, like, all right, let's all go to the gas station. And we all knew what we were talking about.
That's
it was great. But there's one more thing about the new update that I think we should talk about, and that is the Halloween event coming up.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Is it spooky season?
Fight or Fright.
All right. I'm interested. Tell me more.
I believe there's going to be a rollout where I think they're going to do a zombie-esque, not so much that you're fighting waves of zombies, but I think everybody gets a Halloween skin where all their characters look like they're just Night of the Living Dead, because they showed that one teaser of Wraith running at you, and she's all off. Like this, but she's coming at you full speed.
That's cool.
So right. I think that's an element. I think there's going to be more to it. So it's going to be another 2-week event because they do these little 2-week events. And I think I'm excited to play it because I want to see what else Halloween themed you can unlock.
Man, even if we last week we talked about some battle royale stuff for a minute and how I don't think that this genre is going anywhere anytime soon because I think there's still so much we could do.
Totally.
If in Apex they did zombies, but the zombies can only use their abilities and no weapons, just think of all the stuff you could
do
there.
Good God.
Because you could zipline, you could portal, you could use your dome shield, mirages. Like,
you say that, and I don't know if you remember, about a month ago there was a glitch. I don't know if you were playing this, so... And it was fantastic, and I hope they remember this and they implement it. So they did an update and something with the game where everybody would populate the map, no weapons anywhere on the map. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't do anything but melee. That was it. And your ability when it powered up, but there was no loot anywhere.
That's
nothing. So nobody got
awesome.
Shields.
Man, yeah.
So then we started thinking, because I played a couple rounds like this, and it was fun as hell, because you're just running around.
That happened more than once?
It happened, I mean, this glitch lasted for about 2 days.
What?
Yeah.
Rad.
Wow.
And so, and it didn't affect everybody. It just, if you happen to get in a game, next thing you know, you don't have any weapons. Right. But then we started strategizing. We're like, okay, I think you'd want to play as Octane, right? Well, you use up your life, but you do get your life back. So if you were able to hit somebody... and then back off away until your life came back and then hit them again, you could outlive them in a punch fight. And then the others are, well, think of all the specials. What could you do? Who would be your best? Mm-hmm. Obviously, everybody thinks Lifeline would be the best because you can self-heal. But in a melee fight in Apex, you only get 4 shots. So if you take 4 direct punches, you're done. Mm-hmm. That's how much your life lasts. So... it was fun to debate because we're like, well, you could have Gibby's airstrike that could pretty much... if you got no shields,
I mean,
Gibby's going to kill you.
Technically, Lifelines is just a really slow airstrike. If you think about it.
Man,
won't even...
You drop it down, you open it up, and it's just like a glove.
And then you had people that were completely useless. Like, okay, well, you've got... who was I just thinking of? We were just talking about it.
What, Bloodhound?
Maybe
not Mirage would be my goat too. I'd be like, ah, ah, ah.
I'm glad
you just punched a Mirage.
I'm so glad they fixed him.
Me too. He's fun now.
His special ability is so fun now, because he used to be just he would disappear, but you could still kind of see him, like the telltale shimmer of the Predator. But now you create him, you go completely invisible, and you don't even need to use this to get away from a firefight. This is a great tactic to sneak up on somebody.
Great.
So when you come around the right side of the rock, you go to that special ability, you walk around, and it lasts, I think, 6 or 7 seconds, but you can deactivate it whenever you want it. Because you can't shoot while you're invisible.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk up behind him, deactivate it, and shoot him in the back of the head. They never knew you went back there.
It's pretty ingenious.
Because when you're stealth, you're not making any noise.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. That's the only way you could track a Mirage is his footsteps. So if you do it in a firefight, nobody's listening to your footsteps.
That's true.
You walk right behind him and use that double tap, baby.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there. I will say, blue screen of death multiple times at critical moments.
I've seen a lot of people.
Everybody keeps saying that. I haven't heard it once.
I've seen a lot of people say that the crash issues are kind of
back. Which PlayStation do you have?
The Pro.
So do I.
Yeah. I played on PC this past weekend, which means that's the first time I've played a PC shooter in about 6 years. It was fun.
Using that rig for something other than World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I played when I had my PC before. My PC was pretty much doing the entire load lifting of Plex. I played this goofy little, because you know the game company GameLoft that makes mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
So they also make games for like the Windows Store. And I grabbed this little shooter game that was like 4-on-4 or something like that. Not so bad. It had a huge following of people playing online. And the maps were really symmetrical. So it was like, you know, you came, whatever time you came in, I mean, you had the same, you know, cover and obstacles, more or less. But it was interesting that, you know, a game that was free that was just on Windows Store that, you know, looked like some goofy little game you put on your phone turned out to be so good on a PC, because at the time I couldn't run anything that was graphic intensive because Plex was, you know, making my PC sweat.
All right, cool. I'm really excited to see that they are still landing on their feet, because I know the first couple of seasons they stumbled a little bit just because they've never done a live service game before. Like, this is their first one. I'm excited to see that evolve a little bit more.
What's funny is one of my friends who was upset, and he now no longer wants to play. He refuses to play. He's like, I'm not going to play him ever again. And I'm like, I don't get what your anger is, but his point was, they just want money. I'm like, well, it's a free game.
Also,
how they keep the game going. They have to make some money.
Sure, like, games cannot be just free, and then, like, developers cannot still be expected to live or, like, be comfortable. Right.
And when Apex first came out, I couldn't stop saying enough that, you know, this is a free game that I would have happily paid $60 for.
Totally. Same here.
Honestly. Yeah, as soon as it came out.
I have barely played a whole lot of Apex. And it's not because it's not a good game. It's just because there's other stuff that's more interesting.
And obviously, I've spent more than $60 in this game.
I spent like $30 on it. Yeah. Something I found out, I completed the Season 2 Battle Pass. The first time I've ever completed one of those. What I didn't realize was throughout doing that, you get a massive amount of currency.
Shards and gold.
I'm pretty sure you pay for the battle pass by completing it.
Yes. Yeah, I think Fortnite does the same thing
as well.
So
you get enough gold to pay for the next battle pass if you want.
And that's exactly what I did. And I have enough crafting material to buy a cool skin I wanted.
I didn't, because I don't play as often as my other friends do, so they would normally level up faster. So I got the premium that puts you the first 25 levels in, and then every time I get gold, for 150 gold, you can buy another level. So
Joe, they got you.
Every time I got enough gold, I'm by level. So I made it to 110 by mid-season. And then when I did, what's fun is if you're playing with friends, the bonuses for everybody compound.
Yeah.
So if I'm at level 110 and he's at level 110 and you're at level 2, you're going to level up insanely fast because our bonuses are just feeding your XP.
Hey, that's a good one.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Let's group up online.
Yeah, sure. Fuck it. Like, honestly, yeah. Like, I should probably play something that's not Destiny, let's be real here.
Right as I'm trying to play Destiny. Look at this guy.
Fuck it, let's play Destiny. Like, yes.
Let's do
please,
both.
Please, let's play Destiny.
I'm down.
Oh, so good.
Let's play some video games together.
Yeah, alright, cool. Well, Thomas, do you have our Hero of the Week this week?
I do. So our Hero of the Week, I pulled this from a Vice Games article. The title of the article is How a 14-Year-Old Designer Became Part of Apple's Splashy New Gaming Service. So this article is about a 14-year-old London designer, Spruce Campbell is his name.
It's a good name.
It is a good name. He started this article's funny and worth a read. This kid is just motivated as all hell and created an app that's now in the new Apple Store service. What's it called?
Apple Arcade.
Apple Arcade. And he specifically wanted it to be released on Apple Arcade, not just in the App Store. So this kid designed an app when he was 12 that got national recognition. He won a bunch of awards for it over in California, even though he is from London. And that recognition got him a shot at going to the conference that basically became everything that we know of as Apple Arcade right now.
Cool.
So he went to this, and he... I highly recommend reading this article because it really tells an endearing story. But he taught himself how to code and design all from scratch since he was 8 years old.
Holy shit.
Yeah. One of his dad's friends is an app designer. And so he said, how do I design an app? And the guy gave him multiple 600-page
awesome
coding books.
Great.
And the kid was
excellent.
I'm 8 years old. I can't do this. But it inspired him to continue working at this. So by age 12, he created the game. I think it's called Cyberpunk PNK. So Cyber PNK. Mm-hmm. Got a bunch of attention. You can download that game and play it right now. But it won him a chance at going to this conference. And at the conference, like straight up during the day, he would go and be involved in all of these proceedings and announcements and all this stuff. And then he'd go home, to his hotel room, and he'd code. And he had a bunch of the game done that he was working on, but he wasn't ready to show it. Like, he wasn't confident in it. So he ends up working on this thing at night at the conference. And then on the last day, they were going to shut down this specific not a panel, but effectively a panel.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to shut this event down early because there was nobody left to talk to. And the kid comes up and he says, hey, this is straight out of a Disney movie. I imagine he's like grabbing the coat of some like huge adult. And he's like, hey, what about me? And they got him up there and he gave a 10-minute presentation on this game that he basically just refinished. And they liked it so much that they immediately approved it and put him up on the Apple Store.
That's really cool.
Awesome.
It's super cool. Go read that story.
Where's it at?
Vice Games.
Make sure to add that to the show notes.
Yeah, if you look up 14-year-old designer Apple Arcade, you'll find it. So that's cool. Yeah, 14-year-old Spruce Campbell.
Awesome.
No relation to Bruce Campbell.
Maybe. That remains to be seen.
We don't know.
Lucky kid.
Hey, Joe, thank you for coming by.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you want to plug or shout out while you're on the air here?
Buy Samsung.
Okay.
Just buy lots of it.
Great. Cool.
I work for Samsung. Buy lots of it.
Okay.
You know what? They're an up-and-coming company.
Yeah, this little indie startup, Samsung.
They're hoping to make it big someday.
Man, like a Spruce Campbell of their own.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. That was awesome. Shout out to Thomas's cat again.
Yeah, kitty.
Showing up at the end of the episode because everything is cyclical. Well, that's going to do it for the show this week. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by. If you like what you heard, consider kicking us a buck or 12 at patreon.com/heroespodcasts. That'll help the show and network grow to do even cooler stuff. Yeah, I talk about money and the cat shuts up. If you can't contribute financially, that's okay, too. Share the show with a friend or rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. This is hilarious,
this is great.
Honestly.
Yeah, we got to put the cat back in the bag. I'll be
right back. Oh, God.
Should have did it with an accent.
If you have any questions or ideas for topics to cover, hit us up on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod, and your submissions could make the show. You can find me on Twitter at TheCamdyMan. Thomas is at TeganNotSarah1. If you're in the Kansas City area, or even just passing through, be sure to check out @GG_Kansas_City on Twitter, or GGKC on Facebook. We've got links to different gaming communities and events in the area, and they would love to have you be a part of them. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and a better tomorrow.
Later.
Yeah.